This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham.
What is a sense of purpose? Do you already have one? If not, would it be good to find one? What makes for a good one? Does having one really make any difference? Just some of the questions likely to be addressed this hour with the latest in our occasional series of eclectic conversations. How does that work? Well, we get a panel made up of folks from widely different disciplines and points of view, get them started with the opening topic, in this case, sense of purpose, and see where they go from there. Of course, that direction can be heavily influenced by you, because you're certainly welcome to join in with your take on purpose in life and anything you see is related. It all gets underway right after the news. Great to be with you. I'm Tom Graham, and this is Virginia Insight. We've got another edition of our occasional Eclectic Conversations series this hour, and if you'd like to join in, we'd be pleased to hear from you at 888-WMRA-TALK. And just in case part of the joy in life for you is memorizing phone numbers, let me note that 888-WMRA-TALK translates to 888-967-2825. So how this works, we have a panel of three guests. We give them a starting topic, and then the conversation can travel pretty much anywhere they and you decide to take it. Once again, our starting point, what is a sense of purpose in life? Here to help, bioethicist from the University of Virginia, Rosalind Byrne, astrophysicist from James Madison University, Chanel Varani, plus vice president of the Montpelier Foundation, Doug Smith. You've all been here in this studio before, but never all at the same time. So welcome together for the first time to
Thank
Virginia
you.
Insight.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you.
Now, to start out, what is a sense of purpose? Rosalind, I believe you lost the coin toss, so we go to you first.
Well, I think you're asking about a reason for being, aren't you? And in general terms, probably what gets you up in the day, the things that keep you going and give you a sense of inspiration and motivation, because life can be arduous and difficult, and perhaps a sense of purpose is what keeps us plugging along in general terms. Not speaking for myself personally, but I think that is probably what you're talking about. Does that get us into the ballpark of the subject matter you want to cover?
Actually, I'm not in charge of what we talk about. This, with the Eclectic Conversations panel, we invite people who've been in front of these microphones before, have been absolutely wonderful to listen to, and then we get you talking to each other.
Well, you know, I think you're exactly right. It's what's really driving us. Mm. You talk about what gets us up on, I think it was the in the morning, the folk singer Harry Chapin. Remember Harry Chapin, Cats in the Cradle? Used to tell this story about, you know, some days you lay down at night and you fought everyone else's battles. And it's a horrible exhaustion. But then some nights you lay down and you fought your battles. And they've been the hardest battles. And they've all been uphill. And that's the best kind of tired there is. And like you're saying, it's what drives you. And as long as you are being driven by what's really important to you, really in your soul, what's indicative of your values, that helps you get up the next morning, doesn't it?
So I think that's interesting. And the third side for my coin, and it's common to what both of you have already said, for me personally, and I will speak for myself, it's the sense of excellence. No matter what it is I'm doing, when I was a student, when I was a graduate student, as a researcher now, it's excellence, to do the best that I can. And excellence is defined specifically and to the individual. It's not necessarily any metric that would be generalized. It's what I want to see me do to reach as many people as I can doing what I do.
Chanel Varani, is your view that part of what a good teacher does is help his or her students find their sense of purpose?
I believe so, and to provide the context. For instance, we now know definitively that the universe began 14 billion years ago. We know that age to better than 1% precision. If you were to take that timeline and adapt it to a 31-day, 12-month calendar, if you were to adapt that cosmos to that 12-month calendar, we've only been around for a few seconds. 25 seconds ago, we mastered agriculture. 11 seconds ago, the ancient Egyptians built the pyramids. 1 second ago, we discovered that we live on a planet that orbits the sun. So we're relatively new to the scene, we as a species. And I think that context matters. I think that context is important.
I wanted to ask you to explain for yourself how our relative age in the universe affects a sense of providing purpose for your students.
How the age of the universe provides purpose for the students, for my students. I think it's important to know that we're not the be-all, end-all. We're not the big game. We're not the big name in the game. That there's a lot that came before us, and there's going to be a lot that comes after us. And I think then it's, you know, how best we can add to that conversation. One of my scientific heroes, Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, was quoted as saying, you know, what's his philosophy? He said he's guided by two. One is to know more about the universe today than he did yesterday, and the second is to lessen the sufferings of others. I think that's a good compass.
Well, you know, we both spend time in the classroom. And with students, I really think my job is to help them have a deeper sense of who they are. And then that will lead them to a sense of purpose.
That's kind of fascinating, seeing that you teach in the School of Engineering.
Yeah, well, that's my job in that School of Engineering, that since I teach things that are not specifically engineering, they're about what it means to engineer and how that affects society, our relationship with our tools and with one another, and the values that we bring when we design engineering systems, et cetera. So for me, the best thing I can do is help them to have a deeper sense of themselves so that they can have clarity about what they're doing when they bring these tools into the world, these systems.
Doug Smith, I'm curious, do you have a sense of when in your life you discovered what you felt your sense of purpose was? And has it changed at different points in life?
I think all of us have a renewed sense of purpose all the time. And I don't know if it changes, but we certainly get a different perspective. It's the onion that gets peeled back. And throughout your life, you have experiences or revelations where you have not a different purpose, but a new perspective on purpose. And that's energizing, and that helps you to really go forward. For me, a lot of that happened around communities, so it's not as individualistic. And that may be part of my upbringing. I'm from Hampton, Virginia. And I remember as a young boy going to the old Hispaniola restaurant with my grandfather to these Rotary Club meetings. And there's something about Rotary Club. Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? Will it be beneficial for all concerned?
You got that memorized.
I do, you know, and it's this concept of service above self. And maybe it was just my family. Maybe it was just the culture of that area. But it was always about building community and making things better for others. And I think that's driven largely how I have framed and renewed my purpose over my life.
You know, you talk about the onion, and curiously for me, as that onion has peeled back and back and back, it leaves me without a sense of clear purpose. I feel more like I'm being led, more and more like I'm being led. And that I have come to a point in my own personal life, this has nothing to do with my students or what I'm teaching, but where I have to just keep letting go, and that opens me more to that sense of being led. And that has led to some remarkable experiences of deep satisfaction for my work.
Do you do yoga?
Well, I meditate every morning.
You do some meditation?
Yeah, that's sort of a form of yoga.
So it's really a lot of introspection. And do you actively kind of seek and search in that, or you're just kind of opening yourself up?
I just keep letting go of thought. And so it's really not a thinking process. It's more a releasing of thought and then an emptying. Perhaps that's where a sense of purpose has a chance to rise. I don't know.
No, that's beautiful.
Rosalind Byrne is one of our guests. She's an associate professor of science, technology, and society in the School of Engineering at the University of Virginia, as well as author of the book When the Horses Whisper. Sitting next to her on one side, Chanel Varani, astrophysicist from James Madison University, as well as director of the J.C. Wells Planetarium based at JMU. And on Dr. Byrne's other side, Doug Smith, Vice President of the Montpelier Foundation, as well as Director of the Center for the Constitution at Montpelier. This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham, and this is one of our eclectic conversation panels where we start with a topic and then go wherever it goes, and you're welcome to help take us to wherever we're going to end up. We've got phone lines open at 888-WMRA-TALK. In all numbers, that's 888-967-2825. If you prefer to type instead of talk, you can post to us on the Virginia Insight Facebook page. On Facebook, we are listed as WMRA's Virginia Insight. And we have this post that came in from Mark, who says, "My only purpose is to spread smiles."
Nice.
Makes me laugh. That feels good. Thank you, Mark.
Does anybody have a sense of how that compares with your own sense of purpose or sense of purpose that you've run up against from other people?
I think it's the same. You know, whether it's to bring a smile to someone's face, whether it's to add knowledge that didn't exist yesterday, whether it's to learn something new about the world that you didn't know yesterday, it's the additive of something new. I think that's the commonality.
It sounds like all three of you agree that having a sense of purpose is a good thing to have.
Not always.
Okay.
I mean, there are people whose sole purpose is power, or whose sole purpose is acquisition of property, or war. And I don't want to place value less or more on Mark's purpose of bringing smile in someone's to become a billionaire. That's really up to them. But, you know, we have to be careful that doesn't override other qualities of being, right? Like recognition of other people's own sense of purpose. And then how do we negotiate that when they clash? That's your job, I think. Doug? Yes?
You know, some days it feels like
Yeah, that. We probably should explain that at the Center for the Constitution, part of what that center does is help new democracies around the world form constitutional governments.
Yes,
and I think
as
that's
well
probably
as our
what
own
Ross,
democracy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, as well as our own democracy. No, I think you're right, Rosalind. I think it's not every purpose is a great purpose. We certainly see that in war. We see that in violence. You hope that no one's sole purpose is to be a purveyor of conflict. But within those conflicts, you see that people find an expression of themselves, an expression of their values in hate, in armed conflict. And that's not something that I as a value judgment, don't think that I can certainly embrace. But as far as smiles and spreading smiles, I think that's a pretty good purpose. I think a lot of us could use that. And I know when you read that, Tom, it worked because you had three right here around the table.
We did all smile.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay. Let me add another item to the pot, and I'm really curious to get your take, both of your takes on this. So one thing I looked up, my hero when I was a kid was Carl Sagan. And so I'm always curious to know what he thought about this question. And this is the one thing I looked up, and then I stopped here. So I'm going to read this. It's a short clip. "We long to be here for a purpose, even though, despite much self-deception, none is evident. The significance of our lives and our fragile planet is then determined by our own wisdom and courage. We are the custodians of life's meanings. We long for a parent to care for us, to forgive us our errors, to save us from our childish mistakes. But knowledge is preferable to ignorance. Better by far to embrace the hard truth than a reassuring fable. Modern science has been a voyage into the unknown with a lesson in humility waiting at every step. Our common sense intuitions can be mistaken. Our preferences don't count. We do not live in a privileged reference frame. If we crave some common purpose, then let us find ourselves a worthy goal."
Carl Sagan.
Carl Sagan.
We continue this conversation in just a bit more than 1 minute. sense of purpose is the starting point on this Eclectic Conversations version of Virginia Insight. Let me tell you a little bit more about our guests. Among Rosalind Byrne's previous books are the titles Nanotalk, Conversations with Scientists and Engineers about Ethics, Meaning, and Belief in the Development of Nanotechnology, as well as Science Fiction, Nanoethics, and the Moral Imagination. But her newest book is a memoir of sorts titled When the Horses Whisper, The Wisdom of Wise and Sentient Beings. Now, born in Western Canada, the child of Ugandan refugees from the terror of Idi Amin, there are still stories that his family tells about how young he was when he fell in love with the sky. It was a bit later, though, that Chanel Varani spent several years as a researcher at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics in Massachusetts. Then James Madison University brought him further south when 4 years ago they made him a faculty member in astronomy and physics and director of the J.C. Wells Planetarium. And that leaves us with Doug Smith, who has done nonprofit and Christian service work in a number of places around the world, including international relief efforts with the World Council of Churches. Then, for 8 years, he headed up a public interest lobbying firm in Virginia. Today, however, helping new democracies develop working constitutions is part of his focus as director of the Center for the Constitution at Montpelier, the ancestral home of President James Madison. My name, by the way, is Tom Graham. This is Virginia Insight. You probably heard it during the break, but let me repeat, if you want to join this conversation, our phone number is easy to remember. It's 888-WMRA-TALK. We're going to somebody who is originally from Georgia, but I think is driving through somewhere in Virginia today. Robert, thanks for calling in. Your question or comment for our guests, please.
My comment is, isn't a sense of purpose what makes us want to keep living for another day? And in myself, that's my family, because my family drives me. That's why I live. That's why I work. So to me, that is what the purpose is. You know, that is what gives a person their sense of purpose. And I'll get off the line and listen to you all on the radio to hear your comments.
Well, Robert, if you could hang on, one of our guests might have a question for you.
Yeah, well, Robert, this is Rosalind speaking. You talk about your family giving you a sense of purpose, which is sort of something greater than yourself. Do you think it needs to be something greater than yourself to be motivating to get up every day?
Because, I mean, without something to hold on to, like my dad, he was a truck driver just like I am. His sense of purpose was his job. And when he quit driving a truck, he didn't live but a year, and he had a massive heart attack. So to me, our sense of purpose is what makes us want to get up in the morning and live another day. And for me, that's my family, you know. They're what drives me.
Robert, tell us a little bit about your family. I'm guessing that you're including children in that.
Well, I've got a mother that lives next door to me on one side, a mother-in-law that lives right behind me on our land, and then I've got a wife and three beautiful daughters and a son and two grandbabies, granddaughters and a grandson, and that's what gives me the motivation to get up every morning and to go through that day to provide for them, to provide a future for them, and to help my mother and help my mother-in-law. And, I mean, without that drive, we have nothing to live for. So isn't that what purpose is? You know, when you want to define what is self-purpose, you know, to me, that's what it is. It is what gets us up every morning so that we can see another day.
Douglas Smith?
Well, you know, it's great. Thank you, Robert, for calling in. What you're hearing is hunting and gathering in the most modern sense, you know. This guy's riding up and down the roads trying to make a life for his entire family and his grandkids, and he's obviously very excited about this. But he also feels the pressure to need to provide, and that is that what I heard was the sense of his purpose. And I'm not sure that's too far away from a little bit of Darwinism there, where, you know, those that survive are the fittest, and Robert's doing everything he can to survive, to provide, and that makes him happy. At least we hope it does.
There's a sociologist by the name of Warren Farrell who's fairly controversial on this point. He's written a number of books about differences in male and female gender approaches to living. And listening to Robert, what I hear is the irony that Dr. Farrell often points out in his book, that for many men, whether it's evolutionary, biological, or it's something that they learn based on the culture that we grow up in, he says that most men have a drive to provide for the people that they love that leads them to spend less time with the people that they love. And there's some pain in that because they become so dedicated to their work and earning the best income they can so that they're providing for their families to the best possible ability that it often means spending more and more time away from those people that they want to show their love for. And I guess I'm reminded of, with Robert in part about this because as a trucker, he sort of has the epitome of a job that you're spending time away from your family in order to provide for them.
Well, that's right. There's a balance. You know, do you live to work or do you work to live? And for a trucker, that's very difficult because your hours are so long and the roads are so many miles. And in some ways, we run into this cultural problem with modernity. And all of us face this, where even when we're with family, often we have a device in our hands. I know I'm very guilty of that. Fortunately, I have a wife that points it out. But that's a challenge. Do we live to work or work to live? And more, we are living to work. And that's very frustrating. And that's unfortunate.
Do you all think that work now, because of the nature of our economic system and the economic times, is where we have to find a sense of purpose? Do you think that that's most commonly where people are looking for a sense of purpose, since they almost have no choice but to put so much time there?
I don't think, well, it's hard to answer. I know for my sense, you know, because you go through public schooling, you go to college, but it's driven because there's a pathway that you want to follow. And for me, being an astronomer, wanting to figure out why the night sky is the way it is, I knew that my vocation will also be my avocation. And that's absolutely true. I love my job. Do I spend many hours at it at the expense of being away from my family? Absolutely true. And so in that case, there's a great deal of similarity between me, the astronomer, and Robert, the truck driver. But I do think that it's slightly different then from our hunter-gatherer days, as Doug was describing. I think for some of us, we do have the opportunity to dictate what it is we want to do.
So one of the reasons I'm asking is because for those who lose their jobs or have no jobs, where do they find a sense of purpose? If that's the one of the most pronounced values in our society is being able to bring in money, then what is that? I mean,
right.
Where are we left if we don't have that to say, well, this is what I do and this is what I earn and I can provide? And it's not just true for men anymore. A lot of us out there, women, are contributing to our households in ways that are critical. Then where do you get a sense of purpose? And then how do you feel about yourself if you can't draw purpose from your work? And I would be concerned that maybe that's not actually purpose, that that's something else.
But Rosalind, you know, it's not only people who have lost their job. I mean, you can retire from your job.
Absolutely.
But you don't retire from life.
But many retirees go depressed. And I wonder, is it because they lose a sense of purpose?
Rosalind, some people listening might think that your questions are rhetorical, but I'd like to make sure that we underscore they do not have to be. That if there is anyone listening who has a response to the questions we just heard Dr. Byrne ask, we'd love to hear your take at 888-WMRA-TALK, in all numbers, that's 888-967-2825. Let me mention that our guests include astrophysicist Chanel Varani, director of the J.C. Wells Planetarium at James Madison University, nonprofit service specialist C. Douglas Smith, who heads up the Robert H. Smith Center for the Constitution. I don't think there's any relation there. Just the irony of having two Smiths. The Robert H. Smith Center for the Constitution, based at Montpelier in Orange County, Virginia. plus bioethicist and author Rosalind Byrne, faculty member in a sort of liberal arts department within the School of Engineering at the University of Virginia, her latest book titled When the Horses Whisper. This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. You can also, if you're a little shy and you don't, or you can't get to the phone, you can post to us on Facebook, where we are listed as WMRA's Virginia Insight. And we have this post from Yaffe on that Facebook page, who says, I think that having a sense of purpose is important. It can give special meaning and context to certain things we do. I also think that we have different purposes in different times in our lives as we evolve and develop different purposes to live and fulfill. I see two people nodding and one listening closely.
I think he's right. I mean, obviously it does change. When I was a graduate student, my purpose was to finish my PhD. Then I welcomed a son, and that dramatically had a different sense of purpose intrinsically to me, what my goals ought to be. So I do think it's a function of where you are, of what you're doing, and where you are in life. It does change. It does evolve. But that there is a purpose.
Yeah, I agree with that. I wonder if there's a universal purpose. Is there a purpose that we can all kind of point at and say, well, yeah, that's part of my purpose?
Well, it almost takes us back to the piece here that was read earlier. We long to be here for a purpose. But Sagan says that none is evident, even though despite much self-deception, none is evident. And I don't know. You're suggesting maybe there's a greater purpose that we all share, and Sagan's suggesting we have to create it. We have to create meaning in our lives and create purpose as we go along.
I think I just got a hint from our producers that the next caller has a question that's related to what you all are talking about. So let's go next to Luray. Will, thank you for joining us on Virginia Insight. Your question or comment, please.
This is an excellent show, and since you have different people on from who are experts and astrophysics, and one who focuses on democracy and to help people, and others who focus on teaching, I'd like to get each one of your individual perspectives on how do you find your purpose in life, and what have you learned as teachers and advocates and lobbyists in life, and can each one of you share your perspective on how do you find your sense of purpose?
What a terrific question, Will. Let's go to Doug Smith first. How do you figure out what your sense of purpose is?
You know, there are these great stories of people who go out in the desert for, you know, days and weeks at a time, and they go into ashrams and they meditate on this. And I've always found my purpose is clearer when I'm around other people. It's really the way I've interacted with folks, whether it's domestically or internationally, that I've realized that my purpose is a real, it's just a small part of a web that really is across the globe. I think of myself very global in the sense that the impact I have, whether it's on creation and the earth, whether it's as a consumer, the impact that I have really has ripples that flow throughout the globe. And so I have to be out there face-to-face with people, in conversation with people, speaking about democracy and the rule of law and how important, you know, being able to vote for elected officials and civic engagement is. These are the types of things that give me a chance to interact with humans. And it's in that interaction that I find my purpose is most clearly experienced and spelled out. That's how I explore.
Well, thank you. This is a very personal question, and I've been talking much more sort of generally because I teach, and I have to be very careful as someone in the classroom not to impose my personal values on others. However, I will say that I don't go to the desert or ashrams, but I do go into meditation for long periods of time in the morning every day before I begin my regular day. And I have a prayer. I just say, I am here. And that's just to indicate to whatever that source is that leads me that I am open to be led. Now, that said, and I try to be attuned to that and really follow those leadings. That said, when I'm with my children, my husband, my parents, I feel a lot of joy. I don't know if that sense of purpose, but that sense of connection to others means an awful lot to me.
You know, I think for me, as has been said before, these are all very personal statements. And for me, you know, when I reflect back on my path to where I am now, it's driven by curiosity. And I think, you know, that does define me as an individual, and as Doug's statement defines him, as Rosalind's statement defines her. And I think what drives me is to be curious, to understand just at some small amount, a little bit about something I didn't know before. And, you know, it's easy to say, well, that's about the natural world, but it's more broader statement than that. Having a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 3-month-old, it's seeing how they view the world, how they engage with the larger world around them, and going, hey, that's kind of neat how they saw something that I didn't see. So I think for me, it's that curiosity.
Will, I'm just curious. It's such a terrific question. Do you have an answer of your own about how you look for your sense of purpose?
Well, I would say it's education. You know, I did a master's degree in studies of the future. I became a futurist. I started a PhD in that. And so I'm always going out and learning and curious and engaging people and trying to figure out what do you think about this or that and where are things going. But I'm also 46 years old. I'm in the middle of my life, whether you call it a transition or a crisis. So this program and this question and the panelists that are on right now are excellent because it's a good guide to show, you know, see each of you are at different parts of your life. But you're all saying the same thing, which is being connected to other people and being of service to other people. That's generally what I'm hearing from you all. But as far as it goes for me, I'm passionate about education and learning and sharing with others. But as far as my own purpose goes, I'm not always certain about that. I don't know.
Yeah, I just want to reassure you that, and anybody else who's in a transition in life, I've observed that most of us go through periods where we simply don't have a sense of purpose. And those can be difficult times. And that onion has to peel back again. And life teaches us through our own experiences to get through those times and then find that new sense. So that is just part of being human, I think.
Yeah, did you see that there was a guy that in Chicago that went across a tightrope? I forget his name, but he just did it a couple of weeks ago. And it was like 500 feet up or in a long tightrope, and he's going between buildings in Chicago. He's one of these thrill artists. And he had this long pole. And a lot of people think that the pole is there to help him to balance on the tightrope. But reality, the pole is there to make sure he gets from one end to the other by maintaining the balance. So you're exactly right. Sometimes getting from point A to point B.
Thank you so very much for your call. We're about to hit a break, but I do want to make a suggestion. If you have access to the internet, we did a show sometime in the past few months called Are You a Professional? And the guest, Peter Norton, about halfway through the show, gives this great description of how people go about finding their calling. I don't have time to give the tips right now, but if you can find it, I think you'll love it. This is an Eclectic Conversations edition of Virginia Insight. Our starting point, the question, what is a sense of purpose? And you're invited to participate either by phone at 888-WMRA-TALK or on Facebook with a post on the Virginia Insight Facebook page.
You faded out at the best part.
Of the song?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the tiger. That's okay. We got the message.
Our guests, Doug Smith, Vice President of the Montpelier Foundation, as well as Director of the Center for the Constitution at Montpelier. Chanel Varani, astrophysicist from James Madison University, as well as director of the J.C. Wells Planetarium based at JMU, plus Rosalind Byrne, associate professor of science, technology, and society at the University of Virginia, as well as author of the book When the Horses Whisper. This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham, and we are going next to Charlottesville to speak to Jordan. But first, I want to make sure, I don't know, I did this just before the break. Will was our last caller in Luray. Will, thank you so much for your call. Now to Jordan, your question or comment for our guests, please.
Yeah, in regards to just, you know, finding your sense of purpose with work and stuff, you know, the way I've always looked at it is, you know, right now I'm 19, I work three jobs. I'm a custodian, I'm a youth leader, and I work at a Chick-fil-A. You know, I work like 60-hour work weeks. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. But my sense of purpose, you know, at the end of the day, when I'm done with work is, you know, how well I've served others. You know, I can't really imagine pulling a 60-hour work week without, you know, without, you know, knowing that I, you know, did my best to serve others before me. And I, you know, I have some community jobs as far as being a youth leader and working in fast food with, you know, a team of, you know, around 80 people throughout the week. So, you know, it's, at the end of the day, I have to ask myself, you know, did I do my best to serve others? And because I think it's kind of a pretty selfish way of living to figure out, you know, how I'm supposed to do life, you know, by myself, what I want to do, what are only my goals. You know, I find my sense of purpose in, you know, figuring out what others want in life, you know, while taking care of myself, obviously. But
Jordan, I don't know if you heard it earlier in the hour, but our first Facebook post was someone named Mark who said that his only purpose is to spread smiles. And it sounds to me like what you're telling us that you see as your sense of purpose is somewhat similar. Would you say that is true?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, gosh, we're all connected. You know, as you're talking, I'm remembering the last time I was in a Chick-fil-A, which was a week ago, with my son. He loves it there. And I noted how well served I felt by the people who were there. And I don't know if it's part of the store or this is individual, but someone came up to me as I was eating and said, "May I do anything for you?" And, you know, it does make life feel much better when we are doing that for one another. And what if we all had that sense of purpose? How different would things be for all of us? That's beautiful. 60 hours is an awful lot. Take good care of yourself.
Jordan, thank you so very much for your call. Next to Scottsville, Ginger. Thank you for joining us on Virginia Insight. Your question or comment for our guests, please.
Hi, Tom. I had worked for many years in at Region 10, our Community Services Board, and one of the things that I had found when I was working with trying to help people who were transitioning from substance abuse and addiction issues, which can be extremely challenging, and in many ways you have to kind of reinvent yourself. Folks were talking earlier about being in transition and how uncomfortable sometimes that is. And in general, when they were trying to think of things that had been given them a sense of being creative, even if it were very remote in childhood, identifying the way in which they had experienced creativity really was helpful in trying to reconstruct what their own individual purpose was in life, at least temporarily. How did they feel creative? And it really seemed to do a lot of good. And I just thought I'd add that.
So it sounds like, Ginger, what I'm getting in part from you is that you got help from others asking them what they felt their sense of purpose was?
Well, I was working both in the jail, in the Albemarle Charlottesville Regional Jail, and at Region 10 Community Services Board. And so I was assisting folks who were making a transition from issues relating to substance abuse. And so they had to often just cut off ties with all of their social networks, because those folks would be making it far more difficult for them not to drink or use drugs. And so they really, one of the struggles was to choose their own way so that they could be comfortable experiencing life alone, at least for a short while, mm-hmm. so that they could kind of reinvent themselves.
Yeah, finding a whole new path. Ginger, thank you so very much for sharing that perspective with us. Let me remind anybody who's listening and thinking that they might want to call in that we've got just a few more minutes for calls at 888-WMRA-TALK. In all numbers, that's 888-967-2825. Now, we have this post that came in just a few moments ago on our Virginia Insight Facebook page, and this is from Beth, who says, I retired in 2012 and am living the best part of my life. Without the pressure of the paycheck, the insane schedules, etc., I now have the ability to set my own course. My purpose is to just be, enjoy my time, learn new things, connect with nature, and be more spiritual. It is a great life. I am in love with it.
Well, you know, Chanel, you had this great Carl Sagan quote you read us at the top of the show. And one of the lines out of that is, we are custodians of life's meaning. And that's exactly what the person coming in here on the Facebook page is saying, is now that she's retired, she's able to be a custodian. Now, I work at Montpelier, which is part museum, and so I would be remiss without saying we're also curators of our own life experiences. And that's something that we all should be trying to do throughout our lives, it seems, is curating those experiences in life, being the custodians of those experiences so that we can get the most out of every day. Because life really isn't a marathon. It really is quite a sprint. And I think you mentioned this earlier, Chanel.
Could one of you explain more about that to me? That life is not a marathon. It's really a sprint.
Yeah, I don't get that personally. I'm not sure. What do you mean?
It's this grander timescale. The fact that, you know, if you look at the fact that the universe is 14 billion years old, the average human being lives maybe 70, 80 years, the ratio of those two numbers is fantastically small. So on the grander scale of how long has the universe been here, how long have galaxies been here, how long have stars have been here, we're short.
Is that what you meant, Doug?
That's exactly what I meant.
So, but not only in that, not only in the timeline, I'd argue not only the timeline of our longevity.
I got to interrupt, Chanel, just because in the context of what we've been hearing so far, maybe I'm having the wrong reaction, but that feels to me like we're saying that human beings are terribly insignificant.
Hate to burst your bubble.
So there's a way of measuring significance along a time scale. I sort of wanted to, I was not wanting to be rude, but I'm sitting here thinking, well, so what? So what if we're relatively new to the universe? We're still here.
Absolutely.
And the fact that we're simply here gives us a chance, as the person who wrote in said, to be. And that's all I need right now, personally, because all the rest is still a mystery.
You know, there's a sense of purpose for individuality, and then I look at us as a species. We're here, our species has been around for an enormously short amount of time. Yet, you know, if you look at what our species has accomplished, it's enormous. And I think, you know, Doug asked earlier, you know, are there universal aspects of purpose? I think the hallmark of our species is exploration. You know, I think it's, you know, to explore whatever it is, whether it's the great unknown on the other side of the ocean, whether it's the great unknown outside of the atmosphere. I mean, just this past week, we put a washing machine on a comet that took 10 years for that observatory to get there. I think this is incredible. So I don't want to underscore the fact that, yes, you know, we are insignificant in the sense that we inhabit the third rock from the sun. Our sun's an ordinary star. We live in a galaxy that has hundreds of billions of galaxies in it. Astronomers today think for every star, there's five planets. So that means that in our galaxy alone, we're of order 500 billion planets. And of course, there are hundreds of billions of galaxies in our universe. Are we insignificant?
This underscores for me the fact that our sense of purpose will have to be derived within ourselves and within our own communities, because your orientation to the world is cosmic because of it's what you do. It's how you see things. It's where your curiosity lies.
And yet at the same time, Chanel is the child of parents who escaped brutal terror in Uganda and came as refugees to Canada and raised children, including yourself, and what I understand was a very loving, supportive family. It seems to me that if we go from the cosmic level and talking about billions of years, Chanel, down to the very personal, individual, and family level, and just use your story as an example, you're talking about human beings accomplishing something really incredible.
Right. But, you know, as an individual, you know, I don't pretend to know what every individual's purpose is. As a species, we've accomplished great things. We've accomplished horrible things, too.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. Really, what we're talking about is the search for purpose. And I love how cosmic you are, because, as you said, that's your job, you know, and maybe it's important for all of us to realize that it's really about the journey, not the destination. Mm-hmm. And that's why you, for instance, find it so helpful to meditate. I love what you said earlier about, you know, that you meditate on this prayer that's, I am here, which is very interesting because in the Jewish tradition, Yahweh means I am.
That I am.
And that is fascinating. Jewish Rabbi Arthur Wasko invites often a crowd to take all the vowels out of the name Yahweh and to say it. And when you do it, it's just breath.
Right.
And in many ways, that's really about the journey, is we just share this breath, and it is both cosmic and deeply personal at the same time. And that's just beautiful. It really is.
I'm fascinated by the cosmos, and I'm glad there are people studying it, and there's so much to learn. And that breath is what I actually know. And I know that it connects us. And for me, that's the place to start with a sense of purpose. And it all comes from that. And that's the core. And it actually doesn't belong to us, right? Because I didn't put it there. And I'm not probably going to be the one that takes it out. But I'm so glad it's here now. And I know that I share that with you all in this room. And we're exchanging air. So we really are connected. And perhaps what you said earlier about really feeling purpose when you're with others has something to do with the fact that we really genuinely are connected. And I think not just to each other as humans, but frankly to all biota, right? So anything living, biota, or the living world, plants, animals, water, particles in the air. It feels to me that it's all the same stuff and we're part of it.
Does it matter that humanity, I shouldn't say we, because it was really the European Space Agency, wasn't it? Does it matter that we put a washing machine on a comet?
Oh, that's another radio show, and yes.
Because I think it's amazing.
I think it's incredible, too.
I think it's fast. I mean, comets, they seem like they go really fast.
Well, is that the one that got stuck and now it's shut down, the battery's down because it's lost it? Yeah, I hope the sun gets it again, because what can we learn about the life that might be there is pretty exciting.
Well, you know, Rosalind, you said we're all connected. You know, at a fundamental level, of course we are. You know, all the atoms in your body, all the atoms in my body, in this table, in Tom's and Doug's, all the stuff that we breathe, you can trace those atoms back to massive stars.
Right.
Right?
We are stardust.
Absolutely. That's what Carl Sagan said. So, you know, there is that cosmic connection that we all share.
Okay, we've got about 50 seconds left. Maybe each of you can give us a brief take or one longer take from one person. If there's somebody who's listening to this who's thinking to themselves, you know, I'd really like to find a sense of purpose for myself, but I'm not sure how to go about it, what advice could you give them? We started with you, Roz, so let's go to you next.
I would say be patient, because they come and they go and they change. And to hold on and grasp and feel like you ought to have one, I think just makes it more difficult.
Chanel?
I think finding what you love and pursuing it, no matter obstacles, statistics, likelihood of success, follow what you love.
Doug?
I think just being open and listening and realizing that it may not come from a voice. at least a voice that you're accustomed to.
Our guests have been Rosalind Byrne, author of When the Horses Whisper, Chanel Varani, director of the J.C. Wells Planetarium at James Madison University, plus C. Douglas Smith, vice president of the Montpelier Foundation, as well as director of the Center for the Constitution at Montpelier. Thank you all so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom, so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks.
Virginia Insight's executive producer, Matt Bingay. Dan Easley is our technical director. Bob Levicky, associate producer. Some of our break music supplied by Robert Jospe and Inner Rhythm. Podcasts of this program available on the Virginia Insight tab at WMRA.org. When you get to the page for today's broadcast, you will see links to more information about each of our guests. Plus, if you go to Virginia Insight's Facebook page and click like, you'll have access to a whole bunch of more information about these broadcasts there as well. Thanks so much for tuning in for this edition. I'm Tom Graham. Hope we can get together again soon for more insight.